Fearless Fellowship. That is the theme of tonight's sermon. And it starts out with Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. A good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other one up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. To me, I find this extremely deep. I mean, I think about Jesus, when he was baptized, if after baptism he took it upon himself to just say, this is it, I'm going to relax now, that's it, I'm not going to do any more. But he didn't, and praise God for that. Amen. In this scripture, it is obvious that God is trying to tell us that it is wise that we walk together, that we work together, and that he wants us to be united as one. You know, yes, it's true that this scripture, a lot of people, even if you Google it, you'll see that it's the symbol, the triangle symbol, which signifies marriage. But isn't that, when we receive the Holy Spirit the day of baptism, isn't that what happened? Isn't that what took place? When we received the Holy Spirit, we became one with the body. So he sees us as one. We were given that gift of the Holy Spirit. And believe me, brothers and sisters, that is the gift. Now, my brothers and sisters, that third strand, as I said, is the Holy Spirit. And everyone in here, whether baptized or not baptized, makes up that third strand. Well, as you all probably know by now, Dick Jones and Dave McMahon have been giving a Sunday morning Bible study class called One. And God's timing to me is always right. And I find this extremely amazing that all the sermons and the studies leading up to this, you know, it leaves us with this question that we need to ask ourselves. What is this one? And how does that one apply to me? How does it apply to each and every one of us here? I mean, that is a good question that we need to ask ourselves. I mean, how can we contribute to that one body? I wanted to talk about, I don't know if any of you here have ever seen the movie Jerry Maguire. If you have, can you raise your hands? You know, it's with Tom Cruise, and it talks about money. That's right, brother. And I'm just going to read what it says, and then I'll take it from there. It says, Jerry Maguire, which is Tom Cruise, played by Tom Cruise, is a glossy 35-year-old sports agent working for Sports Management International. After suffering a nervous breakdown as a result of stress and a guilty conscience, he writes a mission statement about perceived dishonesty in the sports management business and how he believes that it should be operated. He distributes copies of it entitled, The Things We Think and Do Not Say, The Future of Our Business. I believe that when God puts something in everyone's heart and we don't act on it, we're cheating ourselves. He puts it in there and we allow the devil to come and take it away, and we let fear to set in and not act on it. You know, that's important. That's important in our walk, that if he puts it in our hearts, that we act on it. That if we see a brother or a sister in need, doesn't matter, that we approach them and not let fear rob us of what God has given us or put in our hearts. Jerry did that. Jerry Maguire in the movie, he did that. He was, you could say he was put up against a rock. And Rod Tidwell was the only one player that he was left to manage. And he asked him, you know, why don't I make the big bucks? And his reply is a scary one, because you know what? He had a choice. This is the only guy that I depend on. It's my only source of income. Do I be honest or do I lie about it? It's like, you know, here you have an angel and then here you have the devil. It's like, which way should I go? Well, he decides to be honest and he tells him, it's because you have no heart. Because you don't have no heart. And he gets really upset. He said, what do you mean I don't have no heart? I'm the best player out there in the field. I'm the one making all the plays for the team. I'm the one making all the plays for the team. And I believe that worked in his heart. And it got him thinking. I'm the one making all the teams. Making all the plays for the team. And it kind of goes with what the thing that Dick Jones said last week about, you know, giving football a thought of how it's not about the eye, it's about the team. You know, and not looking at it from that perspective. And it's not about each individual. It's about the unity. It's about us being one, united as one. And that's exactly important. I mean, so he tells them that that's it. But as a result of being honest, at the end, he gets the money that he's looking for. But he gets something worth more than money that money cannot buy. And that's what the Bible tells us. He gets a true friend. Somebody who was willing to be honest and tell him the truth. He didn't let fear overcome him. Because it's easily to be overcome. It's like, if this brother steps up to me and he asks me for my help, and I'm not like, well, if I'm honest with him, then maybe tomorrow he won't talk to me. And that sometimes we can let fear set in and not let us really speak or say what we need to say to one another, to encourage one another, to lift one another up, to glorify God, to really see, instead of becoming a light, becoming a beacon in that person's life, and putting it in God's hands, saying, you know what, God put this in my heart, and this is what I'm going to say to this brother. You know, sometimes we do or say things that we don't really think about God first, and those usually turn around and bite us. Turn around and come back and bite us later. And those aren't the good things. What I want us to focus on tonight is being fearless in our personal relationship with one another as fellow Christians. Jesus models this in this next scripture. In Matthew 26, 36, 38, that is a very deep scripture. Before I read it, I want to tell you, when I was preparing for with Dave's help, preparing for this sermon, I personally at night had a lot of, I just kept thinking about this and the depth of it, and I took it lightly. I'm going to read it. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here. This is Jesus speaking now. Sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. That is deep. Stay here and keep watch with me. I don't know about you. I mean, I know I had problems in my life. And before I have them now. before I was baptized, I had problems even then. But I'll tell you what, those are my problems. And the problems he was talking about here were the world's. Praise God that he carried the sins of the world, and that's what was troubling him. He knew that the time was coming. It was getting near. This is not just Jesus, a man sharing his feelings with other humans. This is the Son of God opening up his heart to his human friends. Here, Jesus showed us that it's okay to express our emotions and not let fear come in the way of sharing our hearts with one another. There is no doubt, my brothers and sisters, that we have a great deal of love. That's one of the things that really kept me and my wife at this church. There is a lot of love. But as Mr. Jones was saying last Sunday, is how well do we know each other? And if we don't know each other that well, is it fear that's stopping us? Are we afraid to share, you know, our shortcomings with one another? If I tell you I sin, am I afraid that you're going to judge me? I shouldn't be. None of us here should be, because there's only one judge. And that judge is in heaven. So, that to me, that is deep. Here's Jesus. I mean, it would have been easy for the apostles to say, why don't you just tell your father to take this away from you? If that would have happened, we wouldn't be here, or our children, or, well, back then, I don't know who my parents were, because I don't go back that far in the family tree, or I haven't gone out to that website yet, but with Mexicans, you know, back in the days, coming from a family of nine, my dad was pretty busy. I tell you, we do need to be open with one another. We need to share our hearts. Not only that, but we need to share it without being afraid of being judged. Because that's not only going to help us, but it's going to encourage us to walk and know that, you know what, we are all humans. We are all humans. It's about imitating. And when you do ask because it really matters to you, because God put it in your heart. I'll tell you this story. There was this man. He went out for a walk. He came across a children's daycare center, a preschool. Had a big old fence made out of wood. And he heard a bunch of children just laughing and yelling, 10, 10, and laughing, 10. It caught his attention. He's trying to peek through the cracks. He couldn't see, so he kept walking. I thought, what? 10. Turns the corner, 10, and laughing, and the kids are laughing. And finally, he sees a hole. So he gets down on his knees, and he looks through that hole, and all of a sudden, he sees a twig poking right in the eye, and the kids start saying, 11, 11, 11. I mean, you ask yourself, let them be joyful. Let them be joyful. You know, are we really asking it because God put it in our hearts? Because that person's walk with God or with Christ, whether baptized or not baptized, really means something to us, because we're really interested in helping that person, in lifting that person up. It says in Scripture, we'll get to it, but we do more than that. We go from being that small light to being the beacon. We are a light. This is God's temple. We are a light. And we are very blessed that our leaders are seeing that we have the potential to be a beacon. Amen? A beacon for God and this city, that we can serve more than just ourselves. In John 13, 34, 35, it says, "A new command I gave you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Everyone. Believers and non-believers. This is just not talking about this person or that person. Everyone. Let's not think of ourselves as a little light. Let's think of ourselves as a beacon. Jesus loved these men as friends, and he wanted them to have this love for one another. What does it mean to me to say, "I love my fellow Christians"? I think that it's a good question that we need to ask ourselves, don't you? In John 15, 12, 13, again he says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one like this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Whew, that is deep. That is deep. Jesus laid down his life for us because he loved us. And if we say, "I love you," how are we showing that to one another? How are we showing that to one another? If we say, "I love you, brother," "I love you, sister," how are we showing that to one another? In 1 Corinthians 12 through 26, it talks about the unity and diversity in the body. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I will read 26 because it's a strong one. And it's one that we really, I don't know, when I read it and I read the whole thing, it all makes sense to me. But this one really cuts me to the heart. "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." Amen? We all need each other, no matter what gifts or talents God has blessed us with. Jesus made it very clear he did not only see us as individuals, but he also saw us as one body with no divisions. No divisions. In Galatians 6, 1, 2, it talks about doing good to all. It says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." Gently. Also, if you read Matthew 11, 28, 30, I'm going to pause right there and read another scripture along with it. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." Gentle and humble in heart. "And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I don't know if any of you here, and if you do, a yoke. Being yoked, it talks about, you know, if you look it up, it's about two, they were called bulls, that would be used to plow the ground, to turn the ground, to get it ready for harvest. And I don't know if you've ever seen what, probably made, probably a lot thicker than this, and so solid. So consider on the bottom and the top, just being yoked with another bull, and having to pull that heavy equipment. But here, Jesus is telling us, says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We are walking with him. We are walking with him. And if we are walking with him, then we need not to worry. We are blessed. That is another blessing. We are blessed. It continues. It says, "But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." That's why we have Ephesians 6:10 through 18. It talks about the full armor of God. Putting on the full armor of God. See, and it goes on to say, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." See, the devil is always prowling around like a lion, just waiting for us to fall into sin. Sin is not a matter of if, but a matter of when. And when that day or that moment comes, we must always remember that it is Christ who we ought to be imitating. It is Christ who we ought to be imitating. And like Jim said in his prayer earlier, if he's with us, who's against us? In James 5:13-20, it's called the prayer of faith. "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other." It does say to pray, but it says, "Confess your sins to each other. And pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this." And this is where I was talking about the sinner. "Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins." Amen. Whew. Reading that, this is what it tells me. That Jesus was very observant of his people. No matter where he went. Since he is our model, we are to imitate him. Therefore, we need to observe one another carefully. We need to be concerned about everybody's well-being spiritually or physically. We ought not to just think of ourselves, but also our fellow brothers and Christians. It is important. It is very important. And what I mean by that, it's the same thing. If you see somebody that's hurting and God has put it in your heart to go out there and approach them, not just give them a pat on the back and say, "Or I'll pray for you." Why, instead of saying, "I'll pray for you," say, "I'll pray with you." And saying, "You know what, go ahead and give me your number, or here's my number," but reach out. If you notice somebody that isn't being themselves, let them know. Is everything okay? But if you ask with Christ in your heart. Do it for the right reasons. I know Lois asked me about 3 weeks ago. Goes, "You don't look yourself. I don't see that sparkle in your eye." And she was right. You were right, sister. I wasn't doing very well spiritually, and maybe I should have let you know that instead of saying, you know what, I'm okay, and smiled. That's not being honest. That's not being fair, because you know what? God put that in her heart to ask me that. And she was observant and she noticed that. And I think, you know what? That's exactly how he wants to see us, without fear. And if he puts it in there, he definitely doesn't want to give it over to the devil. Therefore, we do need to observe one another carefully. We need to be concerned. We need to be concerned about everybody, because every part of the body is important, and its well-being is important, and its condition is important. It's important not only to the body, but you know what? It's important to God. It is important to God. Ephesians 6:18-20. It says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." Are we being fearless? Not only with one another, but when we talk about the word, when the opportunity presents itself, do we talk about it? Or do we talk about what we've seen on TV? Do we talk about the worldly things or the godly things? Because it says in Scripture, you know what? We're not going to take anything. Our treasures are in heaven. Amen? So I want to leave you with this. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 through 10. "Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more." Do you have that type of love or relationship with God and with one another? If you need God's help or ours to grow in this kind of love, or if you have not yet been united with Christ, then I urge you to come down as we sing this last song.